Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Self is Necessary. Exploring self is really critical if you want to tap into all of your creative powers and manifest the life you are meant to experience. You're here today with me, Mary Kay Weinhagen, and Delray Jean Vance of the Life Learning Center of Self. Delray is a visionary owner. Hi, Delray. Delray is a visionary owner of the Life Learning Center of Self, and she's a life strategist who works with mind, body, and spirit. She is also an open channel, and we're going to take good advantage of her today. We have been talking lately a lot about communication and the difference between communication and talking. Talking is really pretty empty. Communication is that not empty thing.
It's and where fertility lies, I guess you could call it, huh?
Yes! And really needs to be done in the truth. And one of the things that you always emphasize is that the most important person to learn to communicate with is yourself. So, and I, you know, another thing I want to reiterate is that we're always on this journey to understanding self. It's not something that you're going to, like, graduate and go, ta-da! I know everything about me. I'm all done.
You get to go ta-da for the first second of, oh, I just learned this about me, knowing very well that that's just going to open and unravel another knowing about you. So, you know, if you can be in the joy of that, it's the most glorious walk you can ever have.
Right. And it really is joyful. And on that note, I want to share the link to Delray's blog. It's goldenwordsofself.com. Delray's been writing in this blog for several years now. So there's a lot of good meat in there. Not literally meat. You know what I mean? There's a lot of great
stuff to really contemplate about. Yeah.
And I think because you've been blogging so long now that it really does help paint the picture of the ongoing expansion of self and how you get the ahas, but they're not ta-da's, I'm done. They're aha that opens you up, and you get to ride on that, and then you come up with some more questions about, why am I doing this, and what am I doing here, and how really, really important it is that we start talking to ourselves and asking ourselves questions about what's really so, not what we did so, not what the picture is.
I think the thing that I really love about this walk is the fact that, you know, I have what I call that walking on water moments. And the more we learn about ourselves, the more of those kind of moments we have. And those are the things that really create the awe in self. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know it's difficult, but you know, all of you, if you've had that moment where you were totally clueless, you happened to be at the right moment, at the right time, and all of a sudden, all this magnificence, like, happens to you. And you just go, wow. Well, that's what happens when you start really learning how to communicate with yourself. Because as you're unraveling these pieces, by the way, that you put there, no one put that there for you. The blog I was working on this morning is on communication with self, and it talked about the fact that you yourself made choices to believe that your life experience happened in a certain way. And when you chose to do that, you then started putting things on top of that experience that didn't necessarily happen. So as you start unraveling, and, you know, you have to take your age into account of where you're sitting and how many stories you've had about your life, and you want to remember one very pivotal thing. No one makes a choice for you. If you can get there, you can have people that will challenge you. You can have people who will talk to you. You will have people who will share their opinions and their beliefs. You will have people who will be guardians for you. You will have people who threaten you. But ultimately,
in that last moment, it's you and you alone that's taking that physical step. That's where you have to start telling yourself the truth. No one made you. They could threaten you. Yes, they can threaten you with bodily harm, but you made the choice. You did. All unto yourself. Now you have to go back right there and say, so why did I make the choice? Because I'm alive today. I'm physically okay today. I'm healthy. I have a family. I have a job. I'm productive. I'm not happy, but I still have this living thing that we call life. So again, you want to go back and start telling yourself the very brutal truth. And so much of the time, we make the choice that's easiest, not that's the best for us. And those are two different things. And once you start looking at the fact that you're making choices that are easier, what you're claiming easier, because supposedly you don't have to confront anybody and tell them what your true needs are, but look at the pain you're in. Look at the unhappiness. Even though you might have this bright, beautiful home, this bright, beautiful family, this wonderful job, and yet in all of that, and how many beautiful superstars do we see blow themselves apart because everything is spot on, and yet in their heart of hearts, they're not communicating the truth. And what do? They're like this bright star that just bursts into millions and billions of particles but disappears.
Right.
So it's right there that you really have to look at, but I am the only one that can make the physical choice. And if we want to do it the easy way, because we're saying that to communicate the truth of who and what we are is harder, look seriously at where that's gotten you. And this is the communication of self. This is where we have to challenge ourselves and really look at, okay, I truly am the only one that made choices to get me here. And a lot of times, we got to look at the fact that we're taking reactionary choices. And that looks very close to tit for tat. He or she did that, so I did this. Instead of holding yourself accountable, having that very, very heart-to-heart communication, that talking to self and going, I chose this person. I chose to have this job. I chose to live in this area. And now I'm wanting to blame other people for the choices I make. Does sometimes it look like you're going to lose everything? It does. It really does. And sometimes, mm-hmm. in essence, you are going to lose everything. You're going to lose all your old beliefs, your old opinions, your old ideas. And you're going to start seeing that the more you tell yourself the truth, the easier it is for you to share that truth with other people, and things around you are going to start to lessen. That stricture that you're feeling. And you're going to learn more about yourself. And then you're going to find yourself falling into it again and going, oh, my God, how did I get myself here? I'm frustrated because I went right in with my eyes open. Oh, my goodness, and you will, because that's the glory of this wonderful, magnificent planet. But even in that frustration, what? I'm learning more about myself. What? This magnificent God being that you're sharing your life with is because of the difference between you is now allowing pieces that you couldn't see before? Wow. But you still have to share it. You have to share it with yourself. And so often in our happiness, we want to overlook those hits that our body's taking. But those hits are creating enough of an impact on your body that things like cancer come in, things like car accidents come in, things like falling downstairs and hurting or breaking a leg come in, because you're not addressing those hits, even though most of your life looks pretty wonderful. Again, it's about telling yourself the truth right away. And when I talk about hits and triggers, that's really, our body does go, bing, this doesn't feel good. That little bit of anger that comes in that we shove down right away because we use our physical eyes, and then by using our physical eyes, we go, well, everything is okay. Why am I taking, you know, this is just me. I'm just being petty. And the hardest thing about that, and I was journaling for my own personal self this morning as well, and I went, oh, you hear this huge, you know, and I'm a woman, so I hear this huge word from men. You're being so petty about everything. And I'm realizing, oh, if we would just address each thing when it came up right away and said, you know, this came to the forefront after this action step that just happened, and how should we deal with it? Because this is how I feel about it. How do you feel about it? Poof, the pettiness will go away. But because we don't, we go, oh, that's something little. We let another little come in, and another little, and another little, and before you know it, you're exploding because they came in the door and they were dirty. You know, and that, that poor guy goes, what had just happened? Or they're doing it to you, you know.
Right.
And I'm just using examples. but I can look at that and go, wow, if we just would have dealt with our communication with ourselves, if we just would have looked at those things that made our heart go, ugh, just a little.
Mm-hmm.
It would
stay
that way.
And if we, you know.
And it wouldn't create something. Go ahead.
See, it wouldn't
create. It wouldn't build up an energy onto itself.
As you talk about this, and I think of the times, you know, both for myself and from listening to girlfriends share and even watching movies, you do see, you know, guys will come up and they'll say, make that comment about women being petty, and why does everything have to be an issue, and why does everything rub you the wrong way, and why do we have to talk about everything?
I do say that,
know,
don't they?
Yes. And so
it hamstrings
us.
It really does.
Yeah. And I think it's that piece that does make us go, it's not a big enough deal to have that come back at me. I feel like I'm irritating him. Anytime I want to talk, he, you know, is it an indicator I'm in a wrong relationship? Is it, because you just made the comment that if you voice it right when you feel it, that pettiness goes away. Well,
it does
it really, or does the guy just feel like, is he still going to come back? This is my fear on the physical side of things. He's still going to come back and go, oh, again. Why is that rub you the wrong way? It doesn't rub me the wrong way.
Did you hear that? I used that terrible word, but. Oh, my gosh. I always tease the students that if you say but, you're making a reason for you to hear it, nobody else. Well, one of the things I discovered today in my journaling is, if I communicate this and all of a sudden I start seeing that my communications are dealing all with the same scenario, it is showing me communication is off. And I can share that with my partner. Okay, so I communicated this and you heard what I said. And so you went and communicated with those other God beings that we're playing with. But the same things are happening. Ah! There's a failure in how we're communicating. That now we can, the two of us, look at how are we communicating with each other. Are we on the same page vibrationally so that in that vibration, the right communication is being shared with everyone else that's playing with us?
Oh.
Whole new way of looking at it, huh?
Right.
And that's the part we do have to bring out, that, oh, this happened and this happened, and I addressed this, and then there was a change, and I addressed this, and there was a change, and I addressed this, and there was a change, but not in the behaviors of the people we're addressing it with. So I can see that the person I'm working with wants change, but I'm seeing that the other people aren't seeming to hear. So now we have to work on how are we as a whole communicating what it is our need is.
Do you see the difference?
Yes, I do see the difference. So would our ability to communicate well with others start with us being better at communicating with self? Or?
Of course, because if we weren't communicating with ourselves first, would we recognize the changes that are happening in that significant other? And I'm just using that, you know, girlfriend,
right,
boyfriend, whatever. And then see that, but the same kinds of things are still happening, then that means that we're on the same page. We're not communicating the same way. And so that's where we have to go and start looking and working as a team. We now have to look at how am I communicating? How is the partner communicating? How are the other people around us hearing that communication? And one of the things that we have a tendency of doing is softening up it up for the other guy.
Yes.
And so we think we're communicating, and because we didn't get a negative response from the other guy, we think we did a good job. But then we see it happen again. And then we go, oh.
But they didn't get the message at all.
Yeah. And then we want to blame the other guy. Where we should be doing is coming back and going, okay, how did I communicate? And that's where you're going to see you softened it up for the other guy. Why are you softening up for the other guy? The hit your body's taking isn't softening up. The hit in your frustration of not again isn't lightening up. That isn't being softened. So, see, again, here's another level of understanding of self. Why am I softening up? Is that taking the easy way out again?
Oh, sure.
This is where the easy way out got me into this trouble in the first place. Oh, no, how did I find myself on the same loop again? Dang it. Can you see what I'm saying? And so it's through
yeah.
this whole form of communication with self that you start recognizing how to learn to speak with deep empathy for the learning of another God being without getting in the way of the learning of the other God being.
Right.
So then we look, did I tell the God being right up, right front, this is how it is? Or did I say, because I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that, so I would appreciate it if you would do this, instead of saying, no, this is the way it is. This is the rules that are here. If you want to enjoy being here, that's wonderful, but these are the rules. No ifs, ands, or buts. Everybody's on the same page then, you see? And then everybody gets to make a free choice for themselves. Do they want to play or do they not want to play?
Oh, true, and it's easier to make a choice when you know what the rules are.
Exactly, but if you soften up those rules and you think you're playing in them and then they come back at you again and go, well, that's, you know, now you have to think about this and this. Well, why didn't you say that in the first place?
I don't know.
How many people say that to you?
Right.
I don't know. I have to go into this lecture about the only reason you say I don't know is because you didn't want to tell your parents why you really did something.
Oh, right.
Now we're back. On the loop.
Even though
we needed time.
Yeah.
We needed time to think of a really good reason to soften up the blow from our parents when we really made a choice to do something to find out whether we could get away with it or not. Or what did it say about us as a God being that we got to do this? And we didn't look at our parents and say, I needed to know what it felt like. I'm sorry that it broke your rule. I'm realizing that breaking rules has an effect on me. But how would I learn that without doing it once at least?
Right.
So this is what it's all about. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, 10 times or 20 times, however many times.
Exactly.
We do break. Break the rule repeatedly.
If we're going to break the same rule over and over and over and over again, people have a right to go, I don't want to play with that person who keeps making the same choices.
Right.
And they get to say that. And this is where, you know, by not setting and the whole truth for yourself and where you can play and who you can play with, you're not allowing the other God being to have the same kind of choice. And that's where it starts getting sticky as far as the soul is concerned. Because if you're not point blank clear with everything that's going on, and you are hedging your bets because you want that specific person to be in your life and no one else, then you're not playing fair. And it's going to come back. And, you know, we've talked about karma. And I happened to be kind of watching a show the other day, and this guy says, you know, karma, you know, how they say is a bitch. And
yeah.
I went, oh, he doesn't know what karma means. Because karma really is an energy that you're sitting in and you want to learn about. And you've sent it out there. And it comes back at you in the field that you sent it out. So you know emphatically, do you want to play this way with other God beings or not? It's not about you have the right to hurt that other person. You already did. And there was a piece of you that knew that. And so you had to have the energy come back at you in a way that you didn't recognize so that you could go, oh, it's not cool to have this feeling. And I have done that to other people. That's what true karma is. And that's what we're experiencing when we don't stand up for the truth. Truly, those little hits, that's karma coming
right
back at you and going, you weren't honest. You didn't stand up for yourself. Why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you getting up and saying to that person, I love you dearly, but this interaction, this isn't what I came on board to play like. And you have every right to do that. As well as that, you know that there's always going to be people to play with. You're always going to have like vibrations. So if you see that the vibration that you're playing in is constantly asking you to make compromises that are unhealthy for you, then it's because your vibration has now reached an octave that no longer can be matched with where you're at. That's a wonderful thing. And if you change in love and empathy, everyone around you is going to benefit. Everyone, even though if they're claiming they're not at that moment, but they are going to benefit.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Well,
I did my homework. I really read the blog. I reminded myself to go in there and prepare myself.
Yeah, which is great. So what are some of the... Would you say sometimes talking with a guardian that we trust,
yes,
is the solution to being stuck in our own stuff? In other words,
absolutely,
we need to open the conversation with ourselves in truth. But I certainly look at myself and sometimes go, my story is wound so tight and justified well enough for me to have fooled me. I need to talk to somebody else so they can help me break through the rationalizations, the opinions, you know,
absolutely,
the stuff I have going on that convinces me I'm in the truth.
Even
but
to tell you have every right to feel this way. Now let's work on how you want to express that so it doesn't make the other guy look like they're at fault.
Oh,
voila.
Sure.
That's voila. I mean, that is phenomenally huge in your walking process. Because you have rights to stand up for your vibratory rate and for your choices, as well as the other God being. And that's what I'm saying. When you start communicating with yourself, but I have those rights, I'm getting these niggles, I need to deal with it today instead of pushing it away. Now, I would like to address one other thing, and that's about judgments that we have and opinions that may get in our way.
Mm-hmm.
Because a judgment and an opinion, that becomes a belief system, and those belief systems can really, really get in the way. Now, I saw this wonderful thing. I watch these kooky shows. You know, I'm not so much into the reality shows where you have, like, families that you're watching every day of their life. But I was watching Million Dollar Listings in San Francisco, And there is a selling agent who is Muslim. And he had a listing with a gay couple, two guys, and they were adopting a baby girl, and so they needed a bigger house. It was phenomenal the way that man and his Muslim religion, and he talked about that he came from a very fundamental family. His wife wasn't as fundamental, and she was saying, hey, life is this. This is the way our world is. And we have to accept each and every God being as they are. He went and talked to those people, the gay couple, and he found out by asking serious questions of these two gays that, and it was wonderful because the one gay gentleman looked at him and said, so how would you feel if society was all same sex? And it was your religion, your society, the way of everyone's life, that you had to marry the same sex as you and you were in love with the woman. The way they expressed that was phenomenal. He was so blown away. And he thanked them for liking him for even though he was having the questions he was of them. They in turn thanked him for having the courage to come and talk. It was phenomenal to watch this man walk through his Muslim faith, coming from a very, very strict, this is what the word says, this is how you live, into questioning and going farther even than just self-questioning, but then going to a couple that he was doing business with yet and challenging his faith so openly. Now, I know I'm using that as an example, but it's those kind of things that can get in the way of your success. Because this man now had to sell this couple's home and find them a new one. So now, if he had not addressed his fundamental belief about the gay community, he's taking money away from his own family, his support network. And yet, how many people have the courage to do like this man did and truly challenge it and look at it openly, put the light on his own belief that he felt firmly about? So if you can see with me using this description of how this man challenged the very fundamental piece of his religion, as he's looking at this couple who are two men and they adopted a baby girl and challenged the fiber of who he was, which allowed him then not only to make new friends, have a greater understanding of what this God essence is all about on this planet, but also how the universe then allowed his need to take care of his own family was accomplished.
That's
I was
amazing.
Impressed with the man. I was really impressed. And I'm just watching, you know, million-dollar listings of San Francisco.
Right.
Wow. He did half of my homework. I mean, he did half of my job for me today. Yeah. It was phenomenal to watch. I was really impressed that he walked himself through that whole process. He did what I call is the evaluation process. He kept challenging. He went to his wife. His wife directed him to go to his family. They didn't show that on the show, but that's what she directed him to do, to reevaluate where his stance was in his religion.
Yeah.
And how he felt about the world. And then continuing on and taking that path and then going to them directly. And the questions he asked and how he asked it without judgment. And then we have another person just on the news today. She is actually going to court. She's from Kentucky. Her and the people in the clerk of court's office will not honor these gay people who are coming in and trying to get marriage licenses. She's got to go to court. She's going to court in the next week or so, her and everybody. And it's like, now here you have a person who has a belief and she's not willing to challenge it. She's not really, really willing to see where her opinions and her beliefs are taking her. And by putting stricture in and claiming it's her faith, without ever challenging, does the faith really resemble any truth?
Right.
So that's life. And I guess we're done.
I guess we are. We are really down at the end of our time. I thank you so much. I want to remind our listeners that they can go over to your blog at goldenwordsofself.com. And they can join us over at facebook.com/Life Learning Center of Self. Thank you, Delray.
Thank you, Mary Kay. Bye.
So appreciate you. Bye.
Thank you. Appreciate you.